This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 120, scoring a 9 with these example part 3 answers.
You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show. In today's episode, listen to Lindsay and Jessica answer sample questions and learn how to score a 9 on IELTS speaking. If you're ready to get started with your IELTS preparation and you don't know where to start, go to allearsenglish.com/SEVEN and get our free checklist, the 7 easy steps to a 7 or higher on the IELTS. Go to allearsenglish.com/SEVEN.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Jessica.
What's going
on? Not much. What's up with you?
Let's see. What's new? What's new around? What's new on the block, right? What's new on the block? You know what? Oh, it's back to school. That's what's new. I live, you know, right between Harvard and MIT, as you know. And so cool. This city is flooded. Well, I live in Boston. So there are so many college kids in this town that literally the traffic is crazy. I rode my bike into Boston yesterday and whoa, the moving vans are just everywhere. You got to be careful. Got to be careful.
I'd imagine this is like the worst week of the year to go anywhere.
Yes.
To just drive.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
It's got to be the craziest city in the world right now.
Yeah. I never thought about that. How funny. And it's all just like, I'd imagine it's only really smart people that go to these universities. Am I wrong?
Well, in this neighborhood, yeah. Here in Cambridge, this is definitely like smart city USA.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, the colleges in Boston are good. I mean, there's a range, right? I mean, BU is a decent school. BC is a really good school. And then there are some just, you know, state schools, which are often good too. And it's a mix. It's a mix. So.
Jeez, there's just, it's the highest density of like higher education, right?
Yeah.
Around Boston, it has to be.
It is. I find it really inspiring to be in a place with so many young minds. You know what I mean? Like people are just, there's a lot of thought leadership and a lot of, it's just a very educated city. Your average person usually has at least a master's, if not a PhD. You know, it's very common to run into
That's
people.
So awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes it's intimidating too.
Yeah. It's intimidating and challenging and inspiring all at the same time.
Exactly. So it works for me for now. So yeah.
Yeah. Those 3 adjectives would be very useful for speaking part 3 answers and writing task 2. Inspiring, intimidating, challenging.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. And speaking of part 3 and speaking part 2, speaking of speaking, today we're going to give some great sample answers for some typical speaking part 3 questions, right, Jessica?
Yes, we don't do this enough, I think.
Yeah,
because whenever we do like example answers like this, we get really good feedback. Mm-hmm, so yeah, we're going to do another episode like that today, except I don't think we've done a lot of examples for speaking part 3.
Yeah, that's right. So let's throw a few of them out there today and see how our listeners can use them for their own prep. Should we do it?
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Sure. You want me to ask you then?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So Jessica, let's go down to education. Let's do that first. So, okay. Let me see. So here's a good one for you. So what is your opinion on the way that languages are taught in schools today, Jessica?
Oh my gosh. That is a very interesting question. Honestly, it depends on the country and the school. There are some charter schools in Portland that are teaching language in a very interesting way, a very authentic way. Uh-huh. They are immersing their students in Chinese or in Spanish or in French. There are immersion schools for those 3 languages, actually not far from my house.
Ooh, cool.
And so I think that is very effective. However, the traditional way of like memorizing vocabulary and grammar rules, has been proven time and again to not be as effective. So I think that needs to change.
Ooh, very nice answer. Very nice answer. I like the way you used some intonation there. I think that needs to change, right?
Yeah.
We talk a lot about stress, changing the rhythm in our voice. And you also talked about more current up-to-date schools that are using immersion learning and then the more traditional way. So you kind of weighed two different methods.
Yeah, and gave details, right, of like the kind of languages that are taught. So remember, we want to try and be specific and give strong opinions. I think those are the two best rules for part three. Be specific and give strong opinions.
Absolutely. Very nice. Okay,
so there's another topic here, eating habits. Let's see. Lindsay. This one's funny. I like this question. Why do you think different cultures have different table manners?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think it all goes back to tradition, I'm sure, and different ways of showing respect. You know, I remember a personal story. I remember being in Japan and noting that I thought it was really interesting that people were slurping their ramen after, or their, I'm not sure if it was China or Japan, but anyways, someplace in Asia, people tend to slurp. And here in the US, that's considered very rude. And I found that difference very striking and fascinating. And I think it's just a way, you know, when we all come together, we can start to understand each other, but we do need to have a good sense of what those manners mean across cultures.
Very good. You use some like those adjectives, the striking and fascinating. Those are definitely high level vocabulary adjectives, right? Yeah. And then being specific and giving a personal example. That's also an excellent way to answer speaking part three questions.
If your time is valuable to you and a good score on the IELTS is important for your future dreams, it makes sense not to waste your time with free content and trying to do this alone. We can guide you to your target score with the Three Keys IELTS Success System. It's a step-by-step plan where you learn our three-step strategies to get your target score. Go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com, watch the video on the homepage, and get into your trial. Your first 3 days are just a dollar. See you at IELTS.allearsenglish.com. Okay. All right. Should we do another? One more?
Yeah.
One or two
yeah,
more?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Jessica.
I'm ready.
Here we go. Let's see. Back on the food topic. Let's see. How are the eating habits now in your country different from the eating habits in the past?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. You could see this by generation. If you think about, the way your grandmother ate and cooked, the way your mom ate and cooked, and the way you eat and cooked, you can see the changes. So, for example, my grandma, she cooked dinner every night for her whole family. There were no fast food restaurants, so that wasn't even an option. So even if the cooking wasn't healthy, it was still healthier than fast food. So my grandma would use a lot of butter, a lot of salt, a lot of cream. You know, it was like a heavier food time, I think, in that generation. But even then, like, people were more active. So I think, you know, it balanced out. But my mom's generation, I'd say if you started cooking for your kids in like the 70s, more health knowledge was coming out. So more vegetables were included. They weren't boiled to bits. And different spices from around the world were starting to be used. Different cuisines were coming in to be trendy and fashionable. So that definitely changed. So I think food became yummier and healthier in the 70s. and then, like, you look at my generation, and we just have, you know, a smorgasbord of techniques to choose from. We could eat out, we could have fast food, we could cook at home. There, and lots of people, especially in Portland, are growing their own food again. So it's almost becoming more traditional. So it's a very dynamic time right now for changes in eating habits, and luckily people are becoming healthier, I think.
Very nice. Long answer, but a good one.
Yeah. That was a long one. I love talking about food.
I like how you use the word smorgasbord. Yeah. That's a good one. I'm not sure if I even know how to pronounce that correctly.
I know. Me neither.
Maybe a German word. I'm not sure, but maybe some of our listeners could tell us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even know how to spell it. So, if a German listener wants to write in and tell us how to spell and say that, that would be great.
But that is a kind of a casual, like not typically in the dictionary type of word. So I like how you use that.
Yeah. And that would definitely rate highly on the exam, right? Because it's super interesting and high level.
Yeah. No, totally.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Okay. I'm going to speed answer this question. Let's do it.
Okay, this is about the environment, so common topic. Is water pollution a problem in your country?
Oh, actually, despite what people probably think, I think water pollution is somewhat of a problem, but not as bad as other parts of the world, of course. I remember hearing a story yesterday when I was running along the Charles River that the city had announced that we can't swim in the Charles River this week or next week because of some kind of pollution issue. So that is something that comes up in our daily lives. But I think that, compared to other situations that have happened in my travels, I remember traveling in Guatemala and getting sick as a dog, drinking the water, that I thought, I was drinking what I thought was coffee water that had been boiled, but it hadn't quite been boiled to kill all of the germs. And unfortunately, I was very sick. So comparatively speaking, I think it's a good situation, but I think occasionally we do have some problems with water contamination.
Excellent answer, Missy.
Well, thank you. Did I get a 9?
For sure.
Yes.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, let's wrap it up on that one. So guys, take our examples, pull out what we did well. In that one, I said sick as a dog, another good idiom that's very common. So, I think one thing, Jessica, one quick tip. The reason I was able to add in that idiom, even as a native speaker, I was struggling a bit to try to add in an idiom, and I had to slow down a little bit and wait for the opportunity. So I really think this is something that our listeners should think about, just slowing down and looking for the opportunities to insert the idioms. If you just speak like crazy, like a machine, you won't get those idioms in there.
Yeah, and that'll affect your fluency, your vocabulary, and your pronunciation. So, guys, when you're answering on test day, slow down a little bit. Give yourself time to think. Give yourself time to give complete sentences as answers. Slowing down on test day is definitely good advice.
Slowing down on test day, a whole nother topic, potential topic for another day. But for today, we'll wrap it up.
Sounds good. Thanks for the awesome answers, Lindsay.
Thank you, Jessica. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.